Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Herschel Walker, and I tell everyone out there listening, y'all need to listen to Knockout Radio.
You're listening to Knockout Radio with Randy Harris, Caleb Benenach, and Matt the Naked Pizza Man.
Yo! Oh, yeah! Great success. You're hired. You know what? You get a raise.
Oh, my God.
Call HR. We're going to give this guy a raise.
I thought it was you and me. There was a bond here.
Yeah, but look, we put it in the contract. Now we're going to take it away. But you're getting a raise. Can they do that? Can you have a contract and then change it with an addendum?
Yes. So Kyler Murray, his contract extension, signed a big deal, big deal, $250 million. It's pretty amazing. But everybody was in an uproar because the Cardinals put in his contract in an addendum. He had to do independent study, 4 hours of film a week outside of the facility, and prove to them that he's not playing video games and watch TV while he's doing it. So basically, he had to record himself in some way, shape, or form.
Like a Zoom call?
Yeah, or just be like record himself watching film without, you know, just letting it run and play.
Now, why would they put that addendum in place? Like, is it because he doesn't have the mind for the game? He doesn't get...
No, so I don't think that's what it is. I do think that they put it in because they felt that he wasn't studying enough.
He doesn't have the discipline?
For whatever reason. I'm not going to go that far. I just feel like they felt like, hey, to get to where we need to get to, you need to do more study. The quarterbacks live in the building. Everyone knows that. The great ones, at least. They study a lot. They do a lot of study outside. Like, that is
like the common. Peyton Manning.
Yeah,
like
that's common practice. Jameis Winston lived in the film room. Like, Patrick Mahomes, all those guys. Right. They live in the film room. So I'm sure that's what they wanted to get across to him, right? But to put that in a contract is crazy to me, right? But again, Kyler bears responsibility because – if they didn't think it was a problem, they wouldn't have brought it up. They wouldn't have brought it up. And if you thought it was disrespectful, you shouldn't have signed it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So they're both at fault here. They both are, because nobody's going to put that in for notice because it's never been done before.
Right.
Jamarcus Russell didn't have that in his contract.
And you know he didn't study.
Exactly. So, I mean, like, they're both at fault. But to put that in a contract and then to go sign it and then go out and be like, oh, this is so ridiculous, and then make it a black thing, it's not a black thing. This is a personal thing. This is a you thing. This is an issue that they had with whatever you were doing. And then on top of that, they get media backlash, and then they say, we're going to take it out. Like, then why'd you put it in the first place?
No,
all it took was Twitter to get you to take that out of a contract, a $250 million contract, and Twitter made you take it off in a day, 24 hours. Like, why would you put it in there? And so it just makes the organization look, you know, not the best. And, like, the whole situation was really messy.
So let me ask maybe it's a stupid question.
It will be.
I've never had one of those before, so I wanted to get it out of the way.
Contract?
No. Well, obviously, I had one of those, but it was taken away. By him. No, but the question is, like, we only see football players on Sunday usually, or Monday nights, you know.
Yeah.
But how much... Like, a standard work week is 40 hours. Anything over that's overtime. How many hours?
40 hours is light.
How many hours does a football player, like a pro level football player, put into their career? I mean, you know, 7 day week. How many hours a week is?
I could answer it, but he's the player.
So during camp is ridiculous. Camp is 6:30 in the morning to 10 p.m. at night every single day, and you get one day off every 7 days. Camp is like it's ridiculous, right? When you get into the season, we're talking about 7 a.m., 7:30 a.m., depending on when your team starts meetings, till about 6 p.m., right? 6:30. And then some people could just make you stay later to do extra stuff. But you go home, pretty much everybody is going to put in an hour, hour and a half of film when they get home. Because you want to go eat dinner, decompress with your family. But you're going to watch film. Even on your day off, you watch film. So the 4 hours a week is like... kind of crazy, because I'm putting that in 2 days easily. Easily an hour and a half before practice, you're going to watch some film. After practice, before I go to my meetings, I'm going to watch the practice film. I'm going to watch the other guys I'm playing. So, like, yeah, it's a lot of time. It's a lot of time that it gets put in.
And there's even more time that you're not even thinking about, and you're not even thinking about, you know, the travel.
Yeah.
You know, that's still work time, being on a plane, being in an airport.
You're watching film on the plane. You know, you're watching film on Tuesdays when you're not in. You watch film and you get ahead. You get ahead to the team you're watching the next day. Monday, on the plane, on the way back from the game, I'm watching the game already. So before I even get there on Monday, I've already watched the game 2, 3, 4 times by myself. and you go in there and watch it with other players, and you watch it with the coaches. And then Monday, after you finish that, you go and turn on with the team you're playing next week to get an early start. And you look at personnel. Okay, I'm playing this guy. I'll talk about O-line. I'm playing this guy. He likes this move. We'll watch how they play first down, second down, third down. How do they pass rush? Well, so, like, there's so many hours that they're put into this. Like, it's a full-time job.
And well, then some. One of the things that players have told me, and one being Warren Sapp, there was a fight in town, and I invited him to go to the fight. And he was going to go. It was a Friday. The players can't. If they play on Sunday, they have to be – at least they did. I don't know if they still have to do hotels and stuff on Saturday. Okay. So they can't do anything. So this was a fight on a Friday night, and Warren was going to go. And then at the last minute, he called, and he backed out. And I'm like, why? It's he said, because if I have a bad game on Sunday, they're going to blame that I went to 2 hours to watch this fight.
Yes.
So they can't – athletes in any sport, really, you know, can't even be normal, can't even enjoy a couple hours away from their job. If a player doesn't study, I was going to make some kind of reference to you who never studies, you know, for this show or whatever, you know.
Natural talent.
Yeah, well.
Raw natural talent.
Non-talent. You know, that's the part that's always blown my mind is that athletes aren't even allowed to enjoy life.
You can't have a life. It's Le'Veon Bell had an issue a couple of years ago. He's raps, you know. That's his passion. Yeah. He likes to do off the field. And, you know, he dropped a rap song, and somebody was just like, why are you rapping? Go watch some film or something. And he goes, dude, like, so you don't do anything outside of your job? Does Beyonce just sing every day of her life? She can't do anything else but sing and write songs? We had a game where I'm not going to mention the game, but I played very well. Donovan played very well. The O-line did their thing. We ended up losing a close game. We got a tweet after the game that says, if Donovan and Caleb would spend less time worrying about their outfits and more time about the game, we might have won that game. And I'm just like, so I can't even look nice. Right. Now it's like me wearing clothes that I like is a problem. And all of a sudden it's cost us to lose the games. It's just anything. Like, they don't want you to do anything but sit there.
The curse of the boogie wear.
it's crazy to think. Because, like, we have lives too. People have kids. They have family. They want to enjoy Halloween. Want to go to dinners. Want to go to events with our wives and kids and girlfriends and all those things. And, you know, it gets out of hand.
So I was told a story, a high school football game in New Jersey. So Dan Mergliotta, who's a referee in the UFC, is in charge of the chain gang.
Not just the referee, but a guy who stopped a fight early this past week against Derek Lewis.
Can I tell the story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. If you notice, there's two UFC heavyweights came out and agreed with that stoppage.
Oh.
And remind me, and I'll explain what they said. So Big Dan Mergliotta is in charge of the chain gang. And, you know, they normally, like, look for a couple people, you know, to be the chain gang. So this guy comes down to Dan Mergliotta and says, do you mind if I'm part of the chain gang? Because I can't sit in the stands and watch the game. It was Bon Jovi.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, I have to come down on the field and work just so that I can watch the game.
Yeah.
Because they can't go out. I remember with Warren Sapp, we walked through a Target, and I hear this horn. You know, I just finished up a show up in North Dale Mabry, and I hear this horn, and all of a sudden he would scream like he would always do when we would head to the trailer, talking sports with Randy. And I'm like, oh, no. And I look, and it's Warren. So he wants to show me something. He goes, I got to go to Target first. So we walk through Target, and his daughter fell. And we noticed that we were being watched on the security cam. Mm-hmm. Not because they thought Warren was going to steal something.
Yeah.
They were just watching Warren's app.
Yeah.
You know, so that's got to just be weird, too. I mean, it's like, oh, there's Warren. There's Caleb.
Yeah, it's just, like, guys are people, too. Like, we talk about this all the time. Like, somebody's having dinner. You see Tom having dinner. Like, let him have dinner. Like, this is off time.
Well, it's Tom. Anybody but Tom. Yeah. If it's Tom, go for it.
No,
I'm only kidding.
Maybe he'll give you some of the goat cake if you sit down with him.
He's going to be nice, but it's just like, I don't get to have this time a
right,
lot.
Right.
You know, like, I'm doing something normal. I'm just like you. You don't want to get bothered all the time. I might be having a rough day. Something might be hurting. And you're going to go like, oh, can you? I hate to do this, but you're doing it.
Right.
Like,
That's one of my biggest pet peeves.
You know what I mean? Like, just like let people be normal and live their lives. And that's one thing I'm grateful for, girl, like going to UCLA. I got to see a lot of famous people just like around the campus, stuff like that. Early on, I used to want to go take pictures and do things like that. And I had my big homies be like, hey, no. Like, let them. Like, this is their downtime. This is their off time. Like, if they, you know, see you and approach you or make a gesture to you, cool, go approach them. But just let people, like, live their lives and be normal and just, like.
Do you know another big pet peeve of mine?
Yeah.
So there's a post right now on from Bucks Life.
Yeah.
He ranks his top running backs, top Buccaneer running backs of all time.
Ooh, Cadillac.
I'm going to fly through it real quick. Martin, Dunn, Williams, Fournette, Blunt, Welder, Wilder. No, he wrote Welder, Bell, Pettman, okay. Jones, and Barber. And I go, come on, Pettman needs to be higher.
No, wait. Did they put Fournette over LeGarrette Blount?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
Put Williams up there, and I'll sell my jersey for more money.
First of all, it's kind of like knowing somebody's name, you're asking for an autograph. I'm pretty sure Michael Pettman never played for the Bucs.
Yeah.
It was Pettman. But.
Yeah, but like, what are we doing? And then Barber's all the way down there?
Yeah, Barber's 10.
Julio Jones?
Jones is 9.
Nice.
Pettman is 8.
Rojo's 9.
Yeah. And Fournette is 4.
Where's Williams at?
People are prisoner of the moment like crazy.
Right. Well, nobody knows yesterday.
Did you see LeGarrette Blount play 3 times Super Bowl?
Yeah. Nobody. Well, hold on a second. 1,000-yard seasons? Hold on a second. You can't. And I'm not defending this clown, but Blount didn't win a Super Bowl in Tampa.
No, he didn't.
No, and that's what it says. My Buccaneers all-time running backs.
That's fine. But if you're going to say Buccaneers, look at his stats compared to whoever.
While he was here. There. Right.
While he was here.
Right.
He was amazing.
No, of course.
It's a highlight reel. Hurdling people left and right, 1,000-yard seasons. And Doug Martin in his time, in his prime here, was a stud. So I don't mind him being up there. But you can't. And again, Fournette, he's a stud too, but you can't.
What number was Williams again?
Oh, man.
You're trying to sell the jersey.
I'm trying to get more value for the jersey.
No Mike Allstott.
Yeah, that's maybe fullback.
Yeah, he's a fullback.
It's still a running back.
No, fullback is a different position.
He did not play fullback.
He was like Peyton Hillis.
He went to the Pro Bowl as a fullback.
Yeah,
because it was easier to get everybody there.
That position is no longer there.
No,
is there anybody that plays fullback, true fullback anymore?
The 49ers fullback, he's a stud, and then the Packers have a good fullback as well.
If you want to go down this list of 10, tell me what running back on this list of 10, you would take over Mike Allstott.
I would take.
Now, I understand you're young and you didn't see. Yeah, I'm just.
I'm taking Blount, Martin in his prime. And I'll probably do, especially in this offense that they run now, Williams. I'll probably do Dunn as well.
Okay. I mean, I wouldn't.
Yeah. Allstott in this system and the way the game. If we're talking about back then.
But.
Different thing.
But also you change the system depending on the players that you have.
I think everybody in the NFL now is kind of this spread out, you know.
I get that. Formation.
Guys aren't, it's not the way it was before.
I would oh, that's right. I have two bitches. Hold on.
Whoa. what do they look like? Yeah. Are they brunette? Were they like blonde? I mean, Steve's not really a true blonde.
All right. I go to the training camp 2 days ago. I'm going to meet a former Buccaneer.
Yeah.
And we're like looking around, and an employee comes over and goes, can I help you? I said, no, I'm just looking for somebody. Well, who? And I said, Dwight Smith.
Oh.
And then you could tell by the look on his face. I go, you don't know who Dwight Smith is? Now, granted, he was young.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, who's Dwight Smith? I think if you're an employee, you should at least watch a Super Bowl. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know.
He was the MVP, was he?
No.
Well, Dexter Jackson.
Dexter Jackson.
Took the MVP away from
That's
him.
That's not. See, you're such a moron.
Stole it from him? Just like Dungy?
Okay, I will admit to this.
Just like Dungy took the
I
Super
didn't
Bowl?
Know Sheldon Quarles was the linebacker for the
Bucs. Really?
Like my first 2 years. Like I didn't know that he was like a really good player.
For he was great.
When the Bucs won the Super Bowl and they said he's the only person to have 2 Super Bowl rings, they're like, where did he win the first one?
Yeah, I didn't. It was just like, I think Word Dunn came, or no, Derek Brooks came and was talking about, you know, like the great players they had, and he was like, Sheldon. And I'm like, Sheldon?
What about Simeon Rice, though? Simeon Rice is a beast.
Yeah,
he's a
stud. Yeah, but I understand what you're saying.
He's working there, and like, I saw him every day, and he just never
right.
clicked with the big pictures everywhere. I just never, like,
I had the same guy. We had billboards because I used to host Shelton's show. And, you know, there's things and words and descriptions you're not allowed to use unless you, you know, you're a sponsor and you pay the big money.
Yeah.
We had a billboard that said, Monday night, Shelton Quarles, Tampa Bay linebacker. Because I couldn't say the football team. I couldn't say any of that stuff. But no, Shelton is one of the coolest, most down to earth. I'm turning you off.
Speaking of having big pictures around the building.
Can I finish?
Wasn't there a problem with the mural?
Let me finish. because this is more important. The only thing that bothered me more than this kid not knowing who Dexter Jackson was, Monday was salute to the military day. Uh-huh. Okay. Everybody there was military. They bring out the color guard. Can I say that? Will I get in trouble for that one? Yeah. Okay, I can say it.
Okay, okay.
And,
I don't know.
So the singer walks out in full uniform with a, it kind of looked like a PR 8x10. You know how the PR staff would carry those leaf booklets around? Mm-hmm. She sang the national anthem with the words in front of her.
No way.
I had a problem with that.
Well, you don't want to forget the words.
To mess up. It's happened before.
No, it has happened. And, you know, Mo Cheeks stepped up. Was it in Portland and came out and helped this little girl sing the national anthem? That was from years ago. You're in the military, first of all.
Yeah.
You are a singer. She was a phenomenal singer.
Yeah.
And you had the words? It just kind of took away from you singing the national anthem.
Yeah, I understand that.
It bothered me.
It would look weird, for sure.
I once saw someone sing the national anthem reading Braille. And I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. I can feel it.
Was it bad?
No, he's being stupid. God, laugh at him so he'll continue. I remember crying like a baby. We did a celebrity softball game at Al Lang Stadium against Michael Bolton, the singer, his team, and I put a whole celebrity team out, and my sister sang the national anthem. And it was spot on, and I'm like bawling my eyes out.
Yeah.
I mean, I was so happy and proud and scared. And
this is a great topic for you.
Okay. We're blowing through the break back at the station.
Yeah, sorry, guys. So this is a good song for you. So I understand when they sing national anthem, you stand up, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's respect. Take your hat off. Some people want to put their hand over. Some people want to put it in front. Whatever you want to do, fine. There's the other song, America the Beautiful. That's the right one, right? That they also play at games?
I don't know. Do they?
There's another song that they play at
the games. Oh, the Macarena.
No, not that.
Oh.
No,
go ahead.
You know the song I'm talking about?
It could be America the Beautiful. Is it Kelly? What other song, national anthem at ball games, and what other, do they play America the Beautiful?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah.
You can tell by his look he didn't know, but he just said yes.
But it's one of those songs, right? And, like, I've seen got people sing those, like, they sang that song, and, like, military vets cry, like, it's really emotional. Do you feel like you have to stand for that?
No.
No.
Okay. I feel the same way.
Yeah, no.
Because I'm like, it's not the national anthem.
Right, it's not the national anthem.
But like, there are people who feel like, why are you not standing for
this? I believe that should be the national anthem. Mm. I mean, I like that song.
Yeah.
I mean, and not has nothing to do with, you know, people like it, don't like the national anthem, the 18th verse, whatever. I like America the Beautiful.
Yeah.
But no, it's not the national anthem.
Okay.
So no.
Just curious. Yeah.
Now, back to your Buck story. Wasn't the mural wrong? Wasn't there a player featured in the at Raid? At Ray J.
I have no idea what you're
talking about. The 02 championship team, and they put a player in that wasn't actually on that squad.
I have no clue.
I've never heard that.
Really?
Yeah.
I just saw it this week. It's.
I'm going to say you're wrong, but.
I will say I'm right, and after the break, I will
prove it.
All right, let's go hit a break when we come back. Interview number two, chat number two, Jeff Neal, when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sun.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Duffy Waldorf from the PGA Tour, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for our 19th annual Tuxes and Tails. This black tie gala will be hosted at the Tampa Convention Center on October 8th from 5:30 p.m. till midnight and will feature adoptable pets, a silent auction, a cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, an after party with cigars and dancing along the Riverwalk, and much more. Tickets and sponsorship are still available at www.tuxestailstampa.com. Come show your support for homeless animals in Tampa Bay while you dine and dance all night.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
I'm Kevin Hazlett. As a prosecutor, I faced down human traffickers and drug cartels. I was threatened, even followed. But you can't seek justice if you're looking over your shoulder. In Congress, I won't be intimidated by the left or open border Republicans. The Washington cartel wants amnesty. I'll say no. They do nothing as fentanyl floods our streets. I'll fight to finish the wall. The cartels won't like this ad. I'm Kevin Hazlett, and that's why I approved it.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Taylor, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
We are middle linebacker back with Lawrence Taylor and Knockout Radio coming to you live. Tour de pizza.
Crack kills.
It's a hell of a drug.
Didn't he say that in Any Given Sunday?
Probably.
No, he was like talking to a whole bunch of, I never saw the movie, but you know, he was talking to a whole bunch of kids and he said, remember crack kills or something. Then like 2 weeks later, he got.
He likes to have fun. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah. All good. All right. So we really haven't talked much about last Saturday. Jeff Neal coming up momentarily. Zach Palga right after that. But let's talk about the main event first. Amanda looked dominant.
Yeah. Dominant.
And Juliana
looked amazing.
Looked good.
She looked great.
She did. But you know what's so funny? Like, when Amanda was so great, the people were like, it's amazing Juliana stood up for that long.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, all she hard. Looked so great that people are like, man, Juliana's tough for being in there that long. Because it was dominant. It was awesome to see. And one of the media people asked them, Dana, after the thing, like, don't you think, you know, Juliana took that third and fourth round when she tried to do a submission attempt? He was like, what are you talking about? She was like, it's a submission attempt. Like,
well, I kind of thought it was going to be Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva. Like, she was losing, and then she threw up a triangle. And, I mean, I really thought at the fourth or fifth round she was going to get one of those triangles to, like,
there was one time she was in an awkward position, but, like, she was so uncontrolled. In the first few rounds, she wouldn't even go down there with her. She was like, get up.
Yeah,
like let's throw
yeah.
his hands.
Yeah, you know, which is smart.
Yeah,
you know, it's definitely smart, but dominant.
And did you see that the next fight was going to be Juliana's daughter versus Henry Cejudo?
Yeah, I did.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
They've squared up, and
yeah. I sent it to Tony Saunders.
It
was kind
of the greatest meme of all.
That was a beautiful moment. The
co-main event,
Carl Franz and Moreno.
He was dominant as well.
He was. It was awesome. That was a great fight. That kidney shot, like. You know, there was two of them. There was a kidney punch the fight before that sat the guy down. I forget their names, but that was another really good fight. But he looked good. And then what do you think about the face-off?
That was the Drew Dauber fight. The Drew Dauber.
Yeah.
I mean, he won with a liver punch.
Yeah.
Actually, it's like a rib shot. He actually hit him in that floating rib.
Yeah.
And ended the fight. So
what did you think about the face-off afterwards?
You know, I didn't see anything. I mean, it wasn't awful. It wasn't disrespectful.
Yeah.
You know, I thought they both were cordial. And I know you just asked me off the air, and yes. The answer is yes.
You want to see that fight again?
How do you not?
Yeah.
You know, especially when some people thought he won the last fight.
I was one of those people.
So I'm saying it's not like, and I've always said, like, I don't want to see that as good as the Amanda fight was. It was 50-45, and I think 50-44.
Yeah. 50-43 was
one. Yeah, and there was one 50-43.
Yeah. Complete landslide.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to see that again, but on the same line, she put up a better fight than anybody that she's fought against.
Yeah.
But the other fight with Morano, yes. I mean, great fights.
Yeah, it's just rare that you see four fights, you know, so I was just curious about, you know, your opinion on that. But it was a stacked card, man. And it's one of those things where going into it, you know the top two are going to be good, but you don't know that all the other ones are going to be as good as they're going to be, and they put on a good show as usual.
Well, and that's what I always say, and I know that I text you a lot, you know, during the fights, that it drives me crazy. You know, I feel like I'm at a Rays game, you know, when I go to a UFC early, because there's nobody there.
Yeah.
You know, how do you not go and watch the athletes that are trying to fight their way to the main card, to the main event, to the co-main event? And they don't, and it drives me crazy. And they're the fights I want to see just as much.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like what I always say about winning a Super Bowl or winning a World Series. You know your stars are going to step up.
Yeah.
Like in 02, you knew Sapp, you knew Brooks, you knew Rondé and Lynch. You needed Dexter Jackson, and you needed Dwight Smith and Nate Webster. And that's what I'm there to watch.
I think that goes into the casual fan. The people who don't come to the main event are people who leave earlier, that they boo when they don't see a knockout in the main event and stuff like that. Because I went to the one in Houston when you were there. We got there at 5 o'clock, and we stayed till midnight and watched every single fight. And it was exciting. Like, those prelims, those guys are going after it.
It's same with the media. You know, we go in, like in the Vegas tent, you know, the media's still out there six fights in.
Yeah.
How are you not, if you have a seat inside of the arena, get in the arena?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's TVs and stuff, but you can watch TV at home.
Yeah.
If I'm flying wherever I'm flying, if I'm driving to Tampa from St. Pete, I'm going to be there watching the fight.
Exactly.
And you can just sit here and make pizza or whatever the hell you do.
I'm usually there for the food. Media
the
room.
Food?
Yeah, the media room.
Come on. It's the UFC.
T-Mobile Center, they do it right.
Okay.
Some do.
Some arenas are nice.
Some are.
Jacksonville is good.
But nobody cares. It's like, I don't know if I ever told you this. Somebody, I don't remember who it was here for the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
And put in his article, he bitched at the brand of beer in the media center.
That's crazy.
Fans got mad. I got mad. First of all, nobody cares. Nobody cares that you or media, you know.
Getting free beer. Didn't like the beer that you got.
Well, the lioness demanded that she get a beer on her walkout after her.
She didn't demand it. She asked.
She asked. She couldn't wait to celebrate. That's become a tradition in the UFC.
But you,
do you support drinking alcohol after a competitive victory?
Yes. I'm an adult.
Absolutely. I support after a competitive loss.
Peyton Manning said I'm getting a Budweiser after the game, after the Super Bowl win.
It's just crazy. So, again, UFC returns to the Apex this week, last week, which we're still talking about, the Dallas event. Let's jump to the phone lines and welcome back. It has been a long time. Jeff Neal, how are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. Another fight week. You know, how do you get through fight week, and is it the same every time?
I mean, it's pretty much the same every time. This is actually a different fight week now because we're at a actual hotel, a nice one, instead of being at the Residence Inn. I hated that. But, you know, this fight week feels exciting again. Before it was just boring and just, you know what I mean? It was just at the Residence Inn, before you couldn't leave, you couldn't do nothing. It was just boring. But, like, I feel good. Like, I'm sitting here looking at the strip right now. It's just it's a good feeling.
So it's opened up a little bit. Your last couple fights also at the Apex. How different is it? And do you have to, I don't know whether it's get yourself up to go into the Apex or just tell me the difference.
Yeah, it's a big difference. My first two fights at the Apex, they were like no fans. You know what I mean? It was just like kind of like empty. It was just like UFC staff. So it was like super quiet. But this time they allow fans into the Apex. You know what I mean? They got chairs and stuff set up, so there's going to be some kind of atmosphere there. You know what I mean?
But it's still
arena atmosphere,
right? But it's kind of like going back to the early, you know, early career days. You know, of small crowds, and you know, do you like that? Like I liked the Apex. I liked the Apex with no fans, where I could hear everything. I could hear coaches. I could hear you athletes being talked to.
Yeah, I mean. It's double-edged sword. I know it's like it's a consumer friendly to put it in the Apex, but you know what I mean, as far as like, I mean, the athlete going out there, I didn't train 12 years of my life to fight inside of a building with nobody in there. You know what I mean? I've trained my whole life to fight in stadiums, arenas, you know what I mean?
Sure.
That's what I worked so hard for.
Before I ask you about your opponent, I'm curious, cause my main concern in life is food. So I'm curious, did you get a discount when you worked at the steakhouse?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I got free food anytime like a guest would be like, oh, or somebody punching the wrong order, throw that in the box and get some free food.
That's awesome. I think I need to go get a part-time job at a steakhouse just so I can eat some more. Your thoughts on your opponent.
He's tough, man. He's a real tough opponent. Probably like one of the tough opponents I've faced. You know, he's going to come forward. He's going to throw punches. You know, it's going to be an exciting fight for sure. You know what I mean? I'm going to match his energy. Whatever energy he comes out with, I'm matching it.
Do you watch film, you know, when you're getting ready, you find out who you're fighting? Do you watch film of your opponent, or is it, you know, more what you're going to do to the opponent more than has done or could do?
Yeah, I mean, I watch film, but it's mainly just to see the tendencies. You know what I mean? Every styles make matchups, styles make fights, you know what I mean? So he's not going to fight me the way he fought a lot of other people that I watch film on, and I'm not going to do the same thing that those other people did that I watched film on. I just got to watch for his like little tendencies that are consistent throughout all the fights. You know what I mean? That's what I watch the fights for, just to see little things that he always does and that he's always going to do.
How do you deal with a fighter that, you know, won't engage? That's been kind of a topic about boring fights and things like that. So when you see a fighter that's kind of scared to engage you for whatever reason, do you get on the offensive and push the pace more, or do you still kind of wait to see what's going on and wait for him to make a mistake?
That's a tough one, because, you know what I mean, because some fighters that don't engage, they're just looking to counter you, you know what I mean? So if you push the pace and you come forward, you might end up getting dropped in your face. But it's a tough one. Maybe fainting fakes and getting in, maybe fucking appeal to the crowd and, like, you know what I mean, point at the man, like, come on, and make him feel bad, and he'll have to fucking engage or something.
Yeah. And just for clarification, back at the station, he said trucking.
Yeah.
You know, he's also a trucker, yeah. A mover. So that's when he said trucker.
So inches is okay. But trucking is not okay.
Right. Exactly. Jeff, what's the craziest, strangest, funniest thing that's ever happened, you know, in the middle of a fight?
I don't have any stories about that, honestly. All my fights have been pretty tame as far as, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? The fighting aspect.
What's running through your mind during a fight? Like, are you thinking ahead, or are you not thinking at all, and you're just kind of, you know, going on instincts?
Oh, man. That is a tough one. Like, I think it's just instinct. Usually after a fight, like, I don't really remember too much of the fight, you know what I mean, until I rewatch it, and then I'm like, oh, okay, I was thinking this right here. This is what I was thinking right here. But, you know what I mean? I kind of stay in the moment, you know what I mean? Focus on what's right ahead of me.
When you watch a fight, and I ask fighters this all the time, can you watch a fight as enjoyment, or are you always watching as, this is what you do for a living, I'm trying to pick up something, you know, a take here or something there?
Yeah, honestly, I don't watch too many fights, you know what I mean? Unless it's like a really big card, or if it's somebody in my division that's up and coming or a ranked fighter, you know what I mean? And it's like you said, like it's not enjoyment. You know what I mean? I'm like picking it apart and dissecting and seeing, you know what I mean, what's up and coming and what's ahead of me.
Are you constantly watching for positioning of guys and rankings and who I'm fighting next and where I'm going to be after this? Or is it one of those things you just put your head down and grind and kind of look up and see where you are when you are?
Yes. I've just work, just grind. You know what I mean? I don't really pay attention to the rankings too much. Yeah, I don't even know like where everybody's ranked. I just know Luque is number 6 and I'm number 12. I don't know where anybody else in the rankings is at. You know what I mean? I kind of know who's in the rankings, but as far as where they're at, don't really care. Luque is a tough opponent, you know what I mean? So it'll be foolish for me to be like looking past him and looking at other stuff. I got to get through him first before I can think about that.
Absolutely, and that is this Saturday night. Jeff, what can the fans expect when you get back in the octagon on Saturday night?
Oh man, just expect me. I mean, I feel like I'm the best version of myself, you know. And it's gonna be a pretty good fight, you know. it's going to be a lot of blood. It's going to be a lot of action, and it's going to be something that the fans could look forward to watching.
It's only a couple days away. I can't wait. Have fun on Saturday. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, some of their swag, for you coming on and talking to us for a few minutes today.
No problem. Thank y'all.
Talk to you soon. That is Jeff Neal back in the Octagon on Saturday. We're going to hit a break when we come back. Part two of the tough finale. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, Tampa, this is Eric Moles from the Buffalo Bills, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Country Depot, located at 36 North Broad Street in historic downtown Brooksville, could be the coolest store on planet Earth. From home and garden decor, handbags, and sports items, Country Depot carries a very large variety of unique gifts like nautical, primitive, country, and much more. Follow them on Facebook at Country Depot and stay tuned to Knockout Radio for details on how to register to win a $50 gift certificate. It's called Country Depot in Brooksville and worth the drive.
I'm Kevin Hazlett. As a prosecutor, I faced down human traffickers and drug cartels. I was threatened, even followed. But you can't seek justice if you're looking over your shoulder. In Congress, I won't be intimidated by the left or open border Republicans. The Washington cartel wants amnesty. I'll say no. They do nothing as fentanyl floods our streets. I'll fight to finish the wall. The cartels won't like this ad. I'm Kevin Hazlett, and that's why I approved it.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's odd, S-O-X, official.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Jay Johnstone from the Phillies, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
We're definitely going back in time with Jay Johnstone of the Philadelphia Phillies. So do you go watch baseball at all? Do you watch it on TV? Do you go to the
couple games? I watch on TV sometimes. Rarely, though. When I have a friend playing, yeah. Otherwise, probably not.
You need to reach out to Gerald McCoy for me.
Yeah.
And tell him Amanda is the GOAT.
Yeah.
She is now ahead of Juliana. Because, man, I told you we got in a little disagreement.
Yeah.
After the fight. Right after the fight. I did say Giuliano should be ranked higher because she just beat her.
I said no, too.
I know you said no. and common sense says no.
Yeah.
You know, but you know I don't have a whole lot of that.
It's like Tom Brady doesn't win a Super Bowl, and you're like, oh, well, this guy's a better quarterback. It's like, well, relax. Let's chill for a second.
There's so many of those things have come out, like every year that J-Lo gets married, Tom Brady wins a Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
And that's supposedly a real stat.
Wow.
She just got married.
She also has more rings than the Cowboys have had in like 30 years.
Yeah, I saw that one.
No, ever. Well, I don't think 30 years.
Oh, yeah,
I think
she's got, what, six rings?
I think it's six, so she has more than most teams.
Yeah, and the Cowboys are the worst.
The worst team for what?
Well, since they just got named
the wealthiest club in any sport in the world.
In the world?
Cowboys did, yes. $7.6 billion valuation.
Wow.
So, good for Jerry Jones.
What do you pay for it?
You don't have to win.
He paid like $2 million or something like that, $3 million.
And you don't even have to win.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He's a great marketer.
You know, that is the thing. That's crazy. You know, and let's be honest, the Yankees have been that lately too. I mean, for a long time, you know, they've been dominant. Like when you drive up and down Del Mabry and you see that billboard.
Yeah.
And it's how many world championships. Talking of championships, the second half of the tough finale heavyweights on the phone with us right now. Let's welcome back for the third time, Zach Paga. Zach, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Great to have you back on. Last time we spoke, obviously we didn't know, you know, who you were going to fight. Obviously now we can talk about it. Muhammad was just on. Thoughts? Does it matter? Did it matter? Do you care who you're fighting on Saturday for the tough finale?
You know, it didn't really matter, but I did know, you know, as soon as we both got picked, I knew if we didn't fight each other that it would be us in the finals.
Which I'm going to say, and I don't want to get in trouble, you know, with Dana, but, you know, when it came down to the four of you, I'm sure Dana thought that too, and let's have this as the finale. And I don't want to be disrespectful to anybody that was on the show, but everybody anticipated, the you know, you two would be in the finals.
Yeah, it just, I mean, it's not like we're talking smack about the other guys. We're just the most accomplished and the best fighters, and that's why we are both in the finals.
How has not even just, you know, training, how has life been, you know, over the past, I think it's been about a month now since you've been back on the show?
It's been great. You know, it's been really ratcheted up the last month, the final weeks of camp. So it's been really good, though. It's been fun finally getting here. You know, it's been 5 months since the show stopped taping. So it's so nice to finally be here.
Where have you been training in the meantime? You know, like, what have you got to do? Like, have you had any downtime? Have you just been training every day and just getting ready for this fight? What have you been up to?
So I have been primarily training, just mainly training. I did go to London with Curtis Blades to corner him in his fight against Tom Aspinall. That was a training vacation. You know, I was training out there every day. So, yeah, just I've been training this entire 5 months. You know, in a smart way, not overtraining myself, but I've been preparing for this moment.
When you look at this fight, you know, you're sitting in the hotel room tonight or Thursday or, you know, the weigh-ins on Friday. Are you trying to look at this fight as, hey, it's just another fight? It's no bigger, you know, than any other fight? Or, you know, obviously you've thought about it. I mean, there is a lot on the line and it goes down in eternity, the winner of the Ultimate Fighter. Or do you try to block that out?
You know, you have to be honest with yourself about the moment. I'm not taking it lightly about what this is and what it means for me to win. And, you know, I'm preparing with every ounce of my being to go out there and get the win.
Was it different? I'm assuming that you're in the apex today for the media and all that kind of stuff. Is it different now being back in there? I mean, you were only in there a couple months ago, but does it feel different?
It does feel different, you know. Before, I was just a guy on the show. We didn't even have on real, like, UFC gear and stuff like that. And then now I'm here on the main card of a UFC fight night. So, yeah, it just feels like I belong now.
Muhammad said that he's still wearing the tough clothing, you know, that it's still, he's considering this as still part of the show. And there's still, you know, the outcome hasn't been made. Same feeling with you that this is still just the last portion of the Ultimate Fighter Season 30?
Yeah, so it is unfinished. This is the final piece of the show. They are having us fight in tough shorts when we fight on Saturday. But yeah, this is just the final piece of the journey.
Have you done a lot of film study on him, or do you already have enough information from training together and seeing him for however long you guys were in the house together and just focusing on getting better on your things, or was it more geared towards training for him specifically?
So film study and studying my opponents is a big part of my game, and I have studied Muhammad a lot. And one thing I don't think a lot of people know is that we were on the same fight team and trained together for 2 years before we went on the house.
Wow.
And, you know, I know him really, really well, and I know his game, and I've picked it apart, and I'm prepared to face him.
Looking back, and I know that I mentioned this to you last time as well, looking back as you're training, you know, during the season, did those things kind of come through your mind, you know, hey, I could, or hey, I most likely, and I don't want to show this, or can you not even think of that when you still have a fight or two ahead of that?
You know, for me, I'm not trying to hide anything. Even, you know, I fought my teammate Jordan on the show. I wasn't trying to hide anything. Those guys know exactly what I'm going to do and, you know, try and stop it. It's like when you play the Tennessee Titans, like, oh, I think they're going to run the ball, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Is that what you do when you played the Titans?
Yeah, Derrick Henry's going to Derrick Henry. We know that. That's what he does.
That's man. What he does. Zach, what's the craziest, funniest, strangest, I don't think I asked you this last time, thing that's ever happened in the middle of a fight that you were in?
In the middle of a fight? Oh, let me think back. One that, I was fighting in?
Yeah. Well, either or. I mean, if there's something just as funny or funnier, you know, that you saw, that's fine. We can adjust.
I was at a fight card where the fight right before me, the guy threw up in the cage. They were grappling, they were wrestling, and one dude just barfed all over the place. And now I know that that's a DQ if you throw up in the cage.
But now you have to be aware and try to stay away from that spot in the cage, right?
Yeah, billboard exactly. Mat.
You definitely have to do it. Well, you know, we appreciate you coming back on. You know, like I said, we kind of anticipated from the very beginning this was going to be the finale. I know we're all looking forward to it. I know you and Muhammad are as well. Have fun on Saturday. That's what it's all about.
Cool. Thank you, guys.
Talk to you again real soon. That is Zach Paga back in the Octagon on Saturday night. Co-main event.
Excited for it. It's going to be big.
At the Apex. And it's a fight that I can't wait for.
I'm excited for it.
You know, and how many times do I tell you guys, you know, I mean, I'm going to cover it.
Yeah.
But fights don't, it doesn't excite me. I'm not looking forward to it more than the fight that's after or the fight before. I'm looking forward to this fight more than any fight on the card.
I agree. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's been fun covering them, you know, through this whole Ultimate Fighter season. And I'm pumped, man. It's going to be a good one. Two guys like to bang, you know. I foresee a knockout or TKO. I don't think it goes the distance, so.
Yeah, probably not. now it's different, you know. And I know that Roy Nelson used to say it's just about winning and, you know, whatever it takes to win. But there's a lot on the line.
Yeah.
And Usman's thinking about it. I know Zach's thinking about it. And as much as you want to try to block it out, how can you?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that the difference is when you have guys who are trying to get to where Usman is and Adesanya is and Nunes is, you know, like they're much more hungry. And so they're going to take those chances and try and knock people's heads off. You know, the guys are kind of comfortable. You know, they're like, I'm okay with winning with points. You know, I've done my part. And so that's kind of what you see.
You know, thinking about this down the road, for the rest of their career, at least in the UFC, what is Bruce Buffer going to say when they introduce him?
The Ultimate Fighter champion, yeah.
The Ultimate Fighter season 30 champion, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. You know, so they may not have thought about it, but I think they both have.
I think they know what a big deal this is. And the kind of the really, really good fighters and some great fighters have come out of the Ultimate Fighting Championships. And so I think it's gonna be awesome, man. It's going to be awesome.
Let me ask you a personal question.
Okay.
You know, we normally don't do a lot of football stuff and whatever. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about that? You're on the football field. You're in the middle of an NFL Sunday.
Yeah.
I know you don't have time to think, but is that like, holy crap, I'm in the NFL.
Yeah. There's been my second start my rookie year. We're playing. I think I told the story before. We're playing the Chiefs. Chiefs were on a 7-game win streak, and we had won a couple games in a row. We're on our little run that year, and we're on the last drive. We get a pick, and we're on the last drive to possibly win the game. And we're in the huddle. I just got rolled up on. Jameis pulls me up off the ground. We're sitting in the huddle, and the Chiefs are doing their tomahawk uh-huh. chant, and we're almost to the goal line. I'm just like, wow. Like, this is like a movie. Like, I'm in the NFL. And it happened again, my first Sunday night game and my first Monday night game. And I'm walking through and I see Boomer and all those guys right there and the whole production. There's twice as many cameras. And, you know, you see those moments in the first second. You're like, holy cow. Like, I'm in the NFL. Like, blocking. There's moments. You know, I'm blocking Julius Peppers. I'm like, dude.
Blocking Julius Peppers.
Dude, I watched you in high school. Like, what are you talking about? So those moments do come. And it's for a split second, you know.
So when you say that to somebody like Julius Peppers, I've been watching you when I, you know, was in high school.
Yeah.
Does that get him mad that, you know, hey, I'm not that old?
I didn't say that. I told him after the game, you know, because he came up to me. He goes, you're going to be a good player for a very long time. It was great playing against you. And I'm like, that means so much, dude. Like, I watched you like since I was like a kid. You know what I mean? And he just kind of laughed it off, and you know, but those guys know, you know, and like you pay your respects to the guys that did it before you.
Well, and you and I have talked about trash talking and all that stuff on the field. And
certain guys you don't trash talk.
Who do you not trash talk to, or you can't say?
I can.
Julius Peppers.
Julius Peppers. You leave Julius Peppers alone, because at any point in time, he's going to be Julius Peppers.
So it's not necessarily a respect factor as much as what he's going to do, and sooner or later, he's going to do something.
Just don't. Some bears you don't want
to. You don't want to poke.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You just don't want to poke them.
Right.
You can go trash talk Tom Brady all you want to, but you know, like, when push comes to shove, he's Tom Brady, you know?
Was it at the Super Bowl that he said something? Or it was against Kansas City, right?
Yeah, when he's chasing Tyrann Mathieu down the thing. And it's like, one thing that's made me love Tom so much more is to see his personality come out in Tampa. Because a lot of times you just kind of saw, like, the Patriots are so kind of closed in and buttoned up and nothing ever gets out. And he comes to Tampa and he's showing himself. And, like, it's fun to watch.
And it's funny that came up, because there was something I wanted to talk to you about. Patty the Batty.
Yeah.
So we've talked about this on the show, you and I, Knucklehead and I. You know, the same athlete, two different people. I like one, I don't the other. Mm-hmm. There's no reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, I like Tito, but kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah.
It's the same style. I don't want to say arrogance. Patty, I wasn't sure about yet. I was leaning towards the negative.
Yeah.
And then the fight, and then his comments after about his friend that committed suicide.
Yeah.
And you saw a side of him that we never saw before.
Yeah.
We just saw that arrogant, I'm Patty, I'm taking over the world, blah, blah, blah. I like him more now.
Yeah.
With that speech, kind of like the Tom Brady thing.
Yeah. I think people, when somebody kind of lets you into their personal and kind of shows you a little vulnerability, I think that makes you, you know, have more endearment for him. I loved him before. You know, I love a guy that can go talk trash and back it up.
I'm not saying I dislike him.
No, I understand. But it just, there's a way it comes off,
right.
You know? And Connor really didn't show that kind of reserve side of him until he took a couple losses. And so people were kind of like, I love Connor.
The thing about Connor that I guess rubbed me the wrong way was you're promoting, you're selling WWE, then the fights after, and he's always said that he's honorable after the fight, which he's always been.
Always been.
And then 3 months later, he starts the crap up again.
Yeah.
I want somebody like the Tito Chuck hatred. I'd like that because it's real.
Yeah.
I don't want you to sell a fight. You don't need to act like that to sell a fight.
You know, sports is, that doesn't exist in sports anymore. Excuse me. People have that thing with LeBron. You know, he's too friendly. Like, we need Michael and Kobe and those guys who are killers all the time. I don't like anyone. And up until Kobe retired, he wasn't friends with anybody. Maybe behind closed doors, but you're not seeing that lovey-dovey stuff from them on the court or on the field. I think those days are over in sports. I think it's one of those things where guys want to be entertainers as much as they want to be, you know, great athletes, because they want to sell themselves. You know, what sells is the trash talk and the bravado all those things like that. Like, look at Russell Wilson. Sorry to cut you off, Matt.
Don't cut Matt off. I mean, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry to cut him off.
Treat me like Julius Peppers from now on.
Look at, like, a guy like Russell Wilson, who's a nice guy all the time and genuine all the time, and people call him corny.
Right.
So, like, you know, people don't want to, as much as they say, well, we want a nice guy, they don't want to see that.
No,
well,
sure.
But what the better Russell passed away this week, Bill Russell.
Yeah.
11-time champion, activist,
awesome,
social rights advocate. Like, this guy really transcended the game
100%.
And society, and he was a true champion. 11 championships, and we were talking about people who have maybe one or no rings as being like greats or goats.
Yeah,
but this guy was truly a legend in all aspects.
He was.
You know, and he's never brought up. You know, when you talk the greatest. You know, it's always LeBron, it's always Jordan, but Russell can be in that conversation for sure.
Yeah, and I don't want to – damn, he's a great player. I just think, as far as, like, GOATs, I think there's a different – again, he's a big man, played in a different era and stuff
different
like
era.
That. But, like, he paved the way for the LeBrons and the Jordans and the Kobes and all those guys like that with his winning mentality. I saw a really good clip, and he was talking to Kobe how he loves his game and his intent every time he goes out there and steps on the court. And Kobe says, I got that from reading your book. Like,
oh, wow.
You know, he's like, I got a lot of my mentality from
you.
What you said and the things that I read about you. And it was that was a beautiful thing to see.
I saw a thing on Facebook, and I normally don't watch a lot of this, but it was a former Laker player talking about Kobe.
Yeah.
And was talking about, you know, how he doesn't pass the ball. And he didn't use the word ball hog, but that's what he's talking about. And he said that Kobe explained to me why I do it.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm in the gym early. Mm-hmm. I'm in the gym late. These guys walk in 5 minutes before practice, and then they leave because I'm not passing them the ball.
You didn't put in the work.
Put in the work. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I
saw that too. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. And like those guys, when you see it and when you hear the way how passionate they are and how much work and time they put in, it's just so great. I watch Kobe Bryant's Muse like every couple months, his movie.
Right.
I think it's a beautiful thing just to see like the inside of how he thinks.
So any thoughts on Saturday? Any predictions for Saturday? Or are we just going to go, let's sit back and watch and enjoy? That's what I'm going.
Yeah, let's sit back and enjoy.
Yeah, I don't want to give favoritism one way or the other.
Yeah.
Well, it's not favoritism unless you're picking someone because, you know, that's your favorite. Well, then it would be favoritism.
Well, I did order a jersey with her name on it.
But there is, you know, and Kenny Foyan gave me crap about this when I said I don't like to pick because I don't want to upset people that I know. I mean, if you believe that's who you think is going to win, that's not favoritism.
Yeah.
In this particular fight, and I've always said, a fight I want to watch is a fight I don't know who I think is going to win.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I could be wrong.
Well, if I bet on this one, do I get suspended for a year?
From this show.
I need to borrow $1,000, Kevin.
No, just a dollar. Just bet a dollar.
Quick thought. I mean, we got a couple minutes. Jake Paul's fight getting canceled. What do you think? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
A lot of people think that was set up. Yeah, of course, they think everything about his fight is that set up.
That fight was never going to happen when they announced it.
But hold on. If there were stipulations, and you should have brought it up because we only have about 30 seconds. Yeah. If there were stipulations in the contract and the other fighter's not going to be able to meet those stipulations,
yeah.
I'm okay with it. It screws everybody that's bought tickets and is flying up and whatever. But if I was the fighter, you didn't make
– Do you think boxers are scared of him?
No.
They're scared to lose to him?
No. Well, yes and no. I don't think that they're scared to lose, but I think they're scared they could lose,
right.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
You know, so you don't want to be on that.
You don't want to be the guy to lose to Jake Paul.
To Jake Paul.
I feel the same way.
All good. All right, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. This will be up posted on the YouTube channel, Knockout Space Radio, right? What's so funny?
I don't know, you're on Knockout Radio.
Hey, my right-hand man is doing it. But you saw who called out Paul, right?
No.
The boxer that was involved in beating up Jesse, the set-up racial crime.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's who called him out.
Okay, I'll take a look at that.
Yeah, I found that interesting. You know, who needs the publicity, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see everybody next week. We'll be back out here at Tournament to Pizza. Until then, stop on by, grab a pie. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Stapsa.
Wrong time.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.